The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is Brian Doyle with the International Sports Federation and Global Serve, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McKay.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Steve.
And this is Matthew.
Just two dudes here in Maryland doing youth ministry and trying to help others to keep going as long as they can.
And here we are at episode 32.
32, that's the number of the famous Franco Harris.
See, what you always bringing it back to Steelers.
I can bring everything back to Pittsburgh sports in some way.
I know. Well, I was watching This Is Us last week, and they had a really good throwback.
That's why you love that
show
so much. They
had Franco Harris, like an actor playing Franco Harris on
really?
The show. Yeah.
You don't watch that show, do you? No, I do.
You're behind?
We're going to binge watch it. Oh. Yeah, I'm still back on season one.
It's actually
Well, I finished season one. I'm waiting for season two to binge with my wife.
It is actually one of the shows that I semi-clear my calendar to make sure I'm home to watch it live.
Really?
Yeah, I don't, and probably 95% of the time it happens.
I think the last show that I actually cleared my calendar to watch live was 24.
Oh,
yeah,
that was a good one.
My wife was so into that show.
Wow,
she still thinks Jack Bauer's real.
Yeah, I watched the last few seasons live, but I didn't get it. They were probably on season six when I even started. So I did some major binge watching.
Right.
Back when the old video iPod first came out. Oh, I bought episodes of 24 like they were candy. Just watched and watched and watched.
I think I actually recorded it on a VHS.
Wow.
I might have, yeah.
You are an old man, Steve Anderson, if you were recording things on VHS.
I'll never forget the time when they came out with the 24 like mini movie after the series ended. You remember that?
Yeah, Redemption.
My wife was so excited for that, and I had everything set to record it, and I messed it up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She was not happy.
I bet she wasn't.
She sent Jack Bauer to kill me.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't have still been recording on VHS at that
Maybe
point.
Maybe it was DVR.
Maybe you
it
was were probably, DVR. Yeah, DVR at that point in time.
Okay.
But the fact that you mentioned DVS is a show of your age. And I only know that because I am showing my age.
You are showing your age.
In fact, when you're recording this episode, I am not quite yet 50. But when this episode airs to the general public, I will be on the other side.
That is a full half century, a half century of life.
I remember tripping out a little bit about my 40th, and you were there for that. You helped me ring
it's
in
a good
40,
story, man.
And I remember for the year leading up to that,
I was there for the tears. I was there for the drama. I was there for the margarita. Yeah, it was.
I'd say there was no tears, but that'd be a lie because there was. But it was. There's a whole story there. We'll tell some other time. But I remember I was a little worried about 40, and I spent a lot of time. I went to a little dark place there when I was going to turn 40. I'm not.
It's kind of a time of reckoning.
It is. Yeah. It is. 50, it's a big number. I'm not freaking out. I'm freaking out a little. Because that's a big number.
It is a big number.
I remember my dad turning 50.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, dude, is just about over for him. I mean, as a kid, you know, I was like in middle school or something or high school at the time, and they threw him a big party. They made graveyards in our, gravestones
in
our front. Yeah, 1 foot in the grave. And
that's brutal.
And I just remember thinking, holy cow, 50. And now I'm just days away from it, and I'm doing some soul searching, Steve.
I understand. We'll have our therapy session.
Well, you've been there.
I remember as a kid thinking what year it would be when I turned 50. And then it was that year.
And then it happened.
Wait, where did that year come from?
Yes.
That's not possible. Yeah, it is a little scary.
So we have aged.
Yes,
we've
we have.
Aged a bit. We've aged
quite
in
a bit.
Student ministry.
We have aged quite a bit in student ministry, yeah.
So kind of
that's why we have this podcast.
It's true. It's kind of the whole point of why we did this is a couple of old dudes who stuck in it long haul.
Yeah.
So as I'm reflecting on me turning 50 and just thinking, first of all, how did that happen?
By the way, you're a very lively, healthy, handsome.
I'm a spry 50.
50, yes.
I appreciate you saying
that. You're a young 50.
I'm fighting against middle age pretty much every day, just trying to beat it back. But anyway, as I'm contemplating this, we had this idea of like thinking back through being in youth ministry through the decades, you know?
I mean,
3 decades in now. I did youth ministry in my 20s. Did mm-hmm. youth ministry in my 30s, did youth ministry in my 40s, mm-hmm. and in not too long of a future, I'll be involved in student ministry in my 50s.
There's an S on the end of that word, decade, for you.
Decades.
And for me.
Plural.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And that means, I don't know what that means. It means there's a lot to think about.
So if you'll indulge us, we're just going to take a stroll through memory lane.
Down memory lane.
And
for
think
the memories
about,
that we still have, because we've mostly lost our memories.
And think about what was it like to do student ministry in those different time frames.
Yeah, because each decade was totally different. It was different in terms of our experience. It was different in terms of just our relationships. Definitely our physical capabilities.
For sure.
There are definitely things that I cannot do anymore that I used to do all the time.
Correct.
As a youth pastor.
Correct.
So those have gone by the wayside. Yeah.
So if you're out there in your 20s,
maybe this early part
of this conversation is going to resonate with you. Steve, what was youth ministry like in your 20s?
In my 20s. Well, when I was in my 20s, this is actually when I discovered youth ministry, because I didn't grow up in a youth group per se, and didn't really have a youth pastor or know what that was. And I was in my 20s, married, newly married, working at a church as communications director, and discovered that I loved youth ministry, started volunteering in the junior high. And that's when I really discovered my gifts and calling to it. I'd say mid-20s to late-20s was all about being a volunteer and kind of being like a big brother and active and fun years for sure. I have fond memories of those years, but man, they seem like a long time ago.
They do.
Those junior high kids I work with back then, they're like 40 years old.
Isn't
now.
That crazy?
Yes, they're
to
older
think
than
about
most of
right
the people
now?
Listening to this podcast.
That's insane.
Yes.
That's insane. See, I started at my church when I was 20.
Which is crazy to me.
I turned 21 the first year I was doing student ministry.
You started youth ministry at the age of my youngest son now.
My son is 20 right now.
Yes.
I was in charge of a group of people when I was my son's age. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, what were people thinking trusting their children to me at that point in time?
Oh, they weren't.
They probably weren't. They probably weren't thinking. 20. So I think that the word that summarizes youth ministry in my 20s for me was energy. Mm. I look back and think, where did I have all, I mean, I just remember never tiring.
Go, go, go.
Just, I mean, and it was go, 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 because in a lot of my 20s, I didn't get married until I was 26. So
okay.
And for 6 years of student ministry, I had zero other responsibilities. And so I just remember just going, 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 doing, always being out. Oh, there's a basketball game. I'm there. There's a track meet out there. Yeah, I was just like, go, go, mm-hmm. go. And I don't ever remember being tired. See, mm-hmm. right now, all I can think about is how tired I am. And that's maybe the whole 50 thing. But I just remember, you know, I would, it was the first church I worked at, it was very, very flexible. There was only 2 people on staff. It was just kind of a get your work done. There wasn't like this work environment and stuff. I remember I would go and play basketball for like 3 hours over lunch because I could work until 11 o'clock at night. It just didn't matter because what was I going home to? My roommate?
I remember driving. I told this story before. We drove to Florida in church vans overnight.
Yeah.
We drove all night long.
Why would you do that? I can't do that anymore.
You know, people would sleep on the floor of the van while the leaders would take turns driving this van down to Florida. That was insane.
That doesn't feel right at all.
It doesn't feel right. I couldn't do that now.
But in your 20s, no big deal, right?
I guess. I mean, if I did that now, I'd get to Florida. I wouldn't even be able to walk.
Exactly.
I'd need a chiropractor getting off the van.
So there were a lot of advantages. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like
dodgeball was definitely an advantage in my 20s.
Absolutely.
I used to pummel kids. I was tough. I was a great dodgeball player in my 20s.
I really came into my basketball skills in my 20s too. So so I could keep up with them and actually, you know, impress them, which now, no, it's more of a joke if I get on the basketball court with them. But And so lots of great things, but I do remember another part of my 20s, and that was what seemed like a daily fight for legitimacy.
Okay.
You know, just a daily fight for people to take me seriously. Mm-hmm. In fact, I ended up leaving that first church that I served. I didn't leave under bad terms. I loved that church, loved those people, but because I started when I was 20, even 8 years later, 9 years later, I'm 28, I'm 29, I had gotten married, I had started a family, I had children of my own, albeit babies, but I had children of my own. But lots of people in the church could not see me as anything other than just a snotty-nosed 20-year-old, which I'm sure I was when I was 20. I'm sure.
But now you're 28. You're experienced. You're a veteran.
Well, yeah. I probably thought I knew a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I gave them plenty of reasons in my 20, 21, 22, 23 to see me that way.
Right.
But it got very frustrating, and I'd really sort of reached a ceiling. I think it was best for the church and for the growth of my own ministry to just go somewhere else where people would know me as a 30-year-old. But I just remember that there were tough days of just like, no, this is what I'm doing is important. What I'm doing matters, and what I'm doing is not easy.
Yeah.
And I think people just thought, man, you're just out going to, amusement parks and, taking care of the kids. You're just a kid. And it was frustrating.
I was telling you the story offline about when we brought in our previous middle school director, Patrick. He came in as an intern, and I was going on sabbatical. So we brought this guy in. He's 23 years old. And the first thing that he was assigned to do was to lead our summer trip to conference. And he told me that he was in the parking lot and the kids were like getting on the bus and stuff, and he's talking to parents, and he hears this one mom say, "Are there any adults going on this trip?" And he was so offended because he was the oldest person going on the trip, and he was 23 at the time. So.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think that kind of reflects what you're talking about.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
Lack of legitimacy and trust that, maybe some of it's even a little bit deserved because he didn't have much experience
absolutely.
Leading that trip. And from the stories I've heard since, things got a little out of hand on occasion. Yeah, but yeah, I can understand wanting to be taken seriously and maybe not always being taken.
Yeah,
so.
And this didn't have anything to do with ministry, but it was the mentality. I remember right after we had our first child, we got to church one morning, and he was born in February, and this is in Wisconsin. So we got to church, it was cold. So my wife was carrying him inside of her coat.
Okay.
But I was bringing in the car seat because we needed the car seat later in the morning or whatever.
Okay.
So I had this car seat, but it was covered in blankets. And so I came in and I put the car seat on the shelf above the coat rack to take my coat off. And like three people came running over. "You can't do that. You can't do that.
Put your baby on the shelf."
And I remember just thinking, do you honestly think I would put my child 12 feet in the air on a rickety shelf? But the reality is
they did
think that. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, this is
you sure you never did
a
that?
Problem. No, I never did.
Are you sure?
But I know the next Sunday I came in, my wife was holding the child and I was doing the car seat, and I twirled it around like a Ferris wheel that was not my finest moment.
No, because one time I really did put the car seat with my oldest son on the kitchen counter. And it fell off.
Oh, no.
And I caught him by his foot, and he was hanging off the side of the counter head first.
So maybe
people's
thoughts
were
legitimate. Yeah. Anyway, so the 20s. Beautiful 20s. Time,
yep.
But difficult time. What about the 30s?
The 30s, yeah. So the 30s is when I finally became a youth pastor. I had gone to seminary in my early 30s and came to this church as already 35 years old. So for me, those were the years of really establishing and getting settled as a youth pastor. Like, it was a little bit later than most, but they were great years, man, because I was the first one here as youth pastor and got to build this thing as a pioneer from scratch. And just remember just all the grunt work of it, like doing everything.
Sure.
Being at every meeting, every teaching pretty much, and just the day in, day out of hands-on all the time.
But you were hungry, so that
I was.
I mean, that wasn't a problem, was it?
I was. I was hungry, and I was ready for it, and I'd been preparing for a number of years. So to me, those were the years of really establishing myself in youth ministry, those first, 5, 10 years in my 30s, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, you know, I started my 30s in a new position. I was actually hired, moved to Oregon, and they hired me as the youth and family pastor. Like, I even had a title that sort of gave me some more legitimacy. After I got there, I realized that they called me the youth and family pastor so they could put me in charge of first kindergarten through 12th grade. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I kind of had a hand in the whole nine yards, which was actually – I mean, there were some good parts about that. I really liked it. There was an elementary school. There was an elementary school across the street, and so we were able to do this after-school outreach, and it got us to know kids before they got to middle school. So it was all fine and well, but I just remember it being – for me, a little bit more about understanding the bigger picture.
Okay.
I know that in my 20s, because I was single for a lot of that and I had a lot of time on my hands and a lot of energy, that I was just go, go, go all the time. But now here I am in my early 30s. I've got four kids under 5 years old.
Wow.
And so I didn't have the time that I used to have. And so I had to kind of start backing up and looking at the bigger picture. And for me, when I was in my 20s, I did everything. It was a small church. Mm-hmm. I had a few volunteers here and there, and they were great, but I was able to carry the load by myself. And now I didn't have the bandwidth to carry the load. And so in my 30s was this time of like, okay, wait, I need a team around me. I need to equip and recruit some people and pour into some people. Also, this idea of ministering to the whole family, not just the student. In my 20s, it was like
the kids.
The kids were all that, and the parents were almost the enemy, you know?
Right.
And then here I am in my 30s going, man, I need to get to know not just this kid, but I need to get to know his family. I need to get to know his parents so that we can together help this kid figure it out. And so there was sort of a bigger picture awakening for me in my 30s where I changed where I spent a lot of my time instead of all with students.
Yeah.
I still love spending time with students, but, you know, time with families together, with my leaders, pouring into them because I knew I needed a team because I didn't have the bandwidth. So those were a couple of big things in my 30s.
I think because I came into that decade having prepped for so long for it and wanted to build this thing myself, I was so all in. I recruited volunteers. I had other people working with me. So I wasn't doing all the work. And yet I had this deep sense of ownership of everything. Like, I am the pioneer, and I was so, you know, intent on building something great. And when you talk about energy in your 20s, I think I had that energy in my 30s because I was leading middle school and high school separately, Sunday mornings, preaching sometimes, had three little kids at home.
Sure.
I look back at that. It's a bit of a blur, but it's a really cool time.
I still had energy in my 30s, But there were sleepless nights in my 30s, mostly because of my own, you know, younger children at home. But it was good for me. I don't know. I really look back at my 30s in youth ministry and think the word that comes to mind is philosophical. Like, I just got a little more philosophical about it. I kind of was able to back up a little bit.
I didn't even know you knew that word.
It's up 50 Center right there. I'm trying to be more mature.
I had to go to seminary to learn that word.
You know, but just to think about it in a bigger picture for me, which I don't think I did at all in my 20s. And if I could go back and do it again, I would start thinking bigger picture a lot earlier.
You know, I do agree with that. And I began to have some of those awakenings in my 30s, just thinking about ministry in a bigger picture than just let's plan fun events and have a good time. Yeah, just thinking strategically about how families function, how youth ministry culture functions, how best to challenge students to grow. Yeah, that was definitely a time where I was trying to figure out some of the bigger picture things. Yeah.
Then
came
the daunted 40s.
Dun, dun, dun.
And again, I remember being just beside myself about turning 40.
I can't even remember. It was so long ago.
Yeah, I remember. I remember, unfortunately, it was yesterday. But I remember one of the biggest things, and this was in that whole, like, I'm 39 and I'm about to turn 40, and I was having this identity crisis with, you know, who I am. And I remember a lot of it, especially my early 40s in ministry, was trying to figure out how to be mature without being old. So they really had this crisis of like, you know, you have this prototypical youth pastor who's like the zany, goofy, you know, you know, person, right?
Yeah, the Pied Piper.
Which I was, which I was for two decades, for the 20s and 30s. That was because I'm an extrovert and I'm a big personality. And I get in the room and I want to be the center of attention. I want to do that. And then all of a sudden I was like, but now I am 40. So
it's not cool anymore
be...
when I wear the cutoff T-shirt.
Exactly.
I look silly wearing this.
Yes, exactly. And so that was. I remember.
Why was I not able to tackle that kid in the football game? I don't understand.
Yeah, I used
to catch that kid like it was nothing, and now he's running away from me like he's a cheetah.
I used to drop 20 in the pickup game. Now I can barely get a rebound.
Now I need help getting off the court afterwards.
But for me, I very clearly remember. This idea of like, okay, what is my place now in my 40s? Because I knew I didn't want to be old. I don't want to be the because I know plenty of 40-year-olds who are playing 50, and I know plenty of 50-year-olds who are playing 60. And I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
But I also know a few 40-year-olds who are playing 30.
Right.
And I didn't want to be that.
Yeah, that either.
And so I just there was.
What's happening? Yeah, hey,
for a few.
You're really cool. Come hang out with me.
For a few years, I just remember that struggle, and I remember getting back from a Sunday night at the high school group, or getting back from a retreat, and thinking about moments where I missed it. Wait, no, you were trying way too hard there not to be in your 40s.
Okay.
Or no, you were in your 50s there. You got come on, buddy, find the groove.
So your self-awareness was increasing.
It was increasing.
That's a good thing.
The word I wrote down was discerning. Like I was trying to discern, okay, what is the best play here? Because I wanted to stay relevant and I wanted to stay a voice in their life, but I also didn't want them to be like, oh, Come on, Matthew. Come on, Matthew. Like, we know you're not 32 anymore.
Right.
We get it. You know, it's okay. So
dropping all the hipster slang.
Yeah,
and stuff,
exactly. Yeah. I did not do that unless I wanted to embarrass my own children, which I did from time to time. But I also didn't want to be the guy wearing, you know, black socks and Dockers with a pair of shorts either. You don't want to be that guy.
Did you find yourself dropping like pop culture references that were super outdated?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Yes.
I still get made fun of for stuff like that.
So it was just trying to find – that was one of the parts of the 40s I remember was trying to find that balance between being a mature person but not being old.
Okay.
But not being, you know, too young either.
I don't think I had that dark moment of the soul quite when I was in my 40s. I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, it's coming.
It happened later because everything for me cycled, you know,
a little bit later
sure. than you. So for me, the 40s was a time of really growing the youth ministry kind of in depth. So more volunteers, more variety in programming, a greater role within the church. You know, I stepped into a position as elder for a time at the church. I've been a key leader in the church. As the church has grown, I've stayed in that role and been able to speak, you know, upward into leadership, which has been really cool. And I think that all kind of grew and fostered itself in my 40s, which was, it's rewarding, you know, to see kind of, I feel like the 40s was my groove in youth ministry.
Sure.
And so I think a lot of people, they hear about being 40 years old and being in youth ministry and they're thinking, like you were wrestling, am I still relevant?
In my past.
I think in my case, I felt like I was kind of hitting my stride because I was 5, 7, 10 years in to building this thing here.
Yeah.
And it was starting to, you know,
starting to
take on some life of its own. There were moments, though. It was in my 40s where I walked through the first true tragedies in the student ministry. And I'll tell you what, man, that ages you quick.
Yes, it does. That adds a few gray hairs.
That adds a level of seriousness and just heaviness to what we do in a way that I hadn't really experienced well before that. And so I started to take things a little more seriously. You know, I think maybe I became a little more mature and intentional in some of the things we do. And yeah, I mean, when you walk with a family through a suicide or something like that, you know, you realize the weight that we carry in student ministry, and it becomes a very serious thing.
Sure.
And I experienced that in my 40s.
Well, and when you're in your 40s, you have a little bit of that maturity to be able to walk that. Mm. And you have that maturity. I mean, you use the word like to be real intentional.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in my 40s in student ministry, one of the things that was a product of that was this idea of becoming laser focused on our objectives and what we're trying to do, and being unwilling to allow anything that didn't support the goals and objectives, what we said we're going to do, to get in the way. This was what I called the death of the lock-in, right? Where we just realized, like,
hallelujah.
Wait, this is
– preach it, preach it.
You know, and I say death of the lock-in, death of any event that did not accomplish its purpose.
Which is the lock-in.
I'm with you on that.
Actually, the lock-in's purpose is death.
Is death of your volunteers, of your students,
you, especially when you're 40.
Especially when you're 40.
Wait till you're 50, man. You even hear that word, you practically keel over.
Yeah, I remember a specific instance where we planned, you know, our high school kids were sort of clamoring for this event. It was actually an event they were very fond of in middle school.
Right.
It was this outreach event where they would bring their friends to it, and they wanted a high school version of it. And so I said, okay.
You talked about one of the shorts, maybe.
I may have, and we did it, and then we killed it.
Right.
Because they weren't bringing their friends.
And
that was, that for me, that was a product of the 40s, of the, okay, wait, I don't have the energy.
Hey, this is not fun and games
anymore. I don't have, well, it's not just fun and games, but I didn't have the energy or the time to invest in anything that wasn't going to really pay off towards our goal. And if it didn't, well, let it go.
Yeah.
So I think that was a product of, again, that maturing.
Yeah. One cool thing that I got to walk through in my 40s was opening our first ever church building with the youth center in it, which was so fun. Like, that was super energizing in that stage of life to be able to create that room from scratch and dream. I remember when I was a volunteer back in my 20s thinking someday I would love to have a youth center that I could help to lead and create. And it happened in my 40s.
And it happened.
Yeah, it was like a dream come true for me. It was like a life coming full circle. It was pretty awesome.
It's like we're the same person, Steve.
Yeah.
Because I had a room in my head like in my 20s, and I got to build it in my 40s.
You did.
At my church and opened it. It was fun. So it's like we're the same person.
It's like a copycat of our room, too. You were inside my head.
No, it's not true.
Well
there are some similarities.
There are a little bit of ideas stolen.
You built yours. Didn't you build yours first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely still study. 100%.
Yeah. So then.
50s.
50s.
So for me, TBD.
I
don't know yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm still 49, Steve, as of the moment of this recording.
Yes. So you will not be shortly after listening to this. So,
For you, 50s.
Okay. So this is the moment when I.
This is the dark night of the soul.
This is when I've really started to wrestle with some of those things. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There's the aging of my own children.
Yep.
So this is the age when my children have moved out of the youth ministry. The 40s was the sweet
spot.
Of that,
we talked
right?
about that a few episodes ago.
So that was over. There was the bringing in of younger staff and seeing, although that's awesome, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. There's that sense of, oh, they're cooler than me now, and who am I? I'm not the guy anymore.
Yep.
I'm the guy in the background. This is the cool guy over here. This is the cool girl over here. The kids love them because they're young and relevant. And I'm over here pulling the strings in some ways, but I'm just the old bald dude in the corner. And that's been difficult. I still wrestle with that on occasion. I think I'm moving past that, but just, you know, am I still relevant? Am I still able to do this? What is it that I uniquely bring in my 50s that's still valuable? And so one of those things is just sage wisdom. They're just things that kind of we inherently know now, and I don't say this to brag, but we just kind of inherently know this is how some things work that we can share with people that nobody thinks of when they're 30 and 40 years old. We kind of know how to navigate situations.
Maybe. I didn't think about it when I was 30.
Church leadership situations, conflict resolution, training leaders, mentoring younger leaders. Like, those are things that are now a major part of my focus in my 50s that they're not things you normally think of in terms of youth ministry.
Right.
But they're incredibly valuable. And they're only things that come as you get older and get experience and have done this for a while. So, you know, I'm telling this to myself, preaching to myself. Yes, Steve, you are still relevant.
You are still relevant. You are still important. You still have things to offer.
You still have things to offer. In fact, you have more to offer than you did before. It doesn't matter that you can't throw anymore.
It doesn't matter. You can't make a tackle.
I've had shoulder
surgery. Fall retreat football game.
Soldiers. I can't knock anybody out in dodgeball anymore, but I can put the balls in the center and then run off the court and use the megaphone and
then
go.
And then blow the whistle.
Yeah,
right.
I can do that. But so mentoring younger leaders. I have three staff who are all in their 20s, age of my kids, and I love building into them and seeing them flourish and helping equip them. That's a major, major part of what
putting
I do
them
now.
In the spotlight, yeah. Letting them be the center. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the mentoring, the sharing, the sage stage of
sage.
Life. The sage stage of life, yeah. Which is pretty.
We should make T-shirts. Sage wisdom.
Sage wisdom. I know John Eldridge has a book about growing older, and he has the different stages of manhood in that book. And I can't remember them all offhand, but there's like the cowboy period, you know, and then there's the king building the kingdom, and then there's the sage period where you've already accomplished what you set out to do, and now you are in a benevolent fashion. Kind of passing that on to others mm-hmm. and dispelling your wisdom. And I hope that doesn't sound over the top, but no. I kind of feel like that's where I am right now. And I'm still doing youth ministry hands-on. I'm still teaching, you know, many, many Sunday nights and still love to hang out with kids and still want to do that kind of stuff. But I'm perfectly happy seeing others succeed. Seeing my youth volunteers, you know, get all the hugs when the kids come into the room. Seeing my staff really flourish, like that's a real reward for me.
Absolutely.
So
50s are great, huh? So maybe maybe I'm excited about being 50.
Yeah, I mean there's some hard parts. You're gonna have to wrestle with, you know, what's next. I still think about that. What's the 60s?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. There's I don't know definitely the answer to that parts. Question.
Yet, I asked my wife asked me what I wanted for my 50th birthday, and I said I want a longboard. You know, and maybe get a little midlife crisis. And she said, no chance. We don't have good enough insurance.
Right.
You know, so, yeah.
I don't want a longboard. I just want a better mattress.
True. I should ask for like a sleep number bed or something.
Exactly. There are some things when you get to this age, you're like, this is a non-negotiable. So I will never share a bed on a retreat ever again unless it's with my wife.
There you go.
If there's a possibility of having my own room,
I take it.
I will take it.
Yep.
And I will not feel guilty about that.
True.
When we're on a trip, I will not eat the worst possible food. I will spend a little bit of extra to eat something more healthy.
There you go.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And there will never be another lock-in in the history of this church as long as I'm here on staff.
As long as you are pulling the strings in the background.
I see no reason to kill myself.
Premature death. I 100% support you.
Thank you. So you going to survive, man?
I'll survive.
You got me to help you along.
That's right. I have people that have blazed a trail before me. Steve, my man, has already, plowed a path into the 50s. So I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to steal your ideas and
just
ride your coattails.
One thing I would suggest for you personally is really look for your ways to flourish within the greater church. Mm-hmm. And I know you do that because you have other roles already. But as you are in this position now, youth ministry is great preparation for overall church leadership. And that doesn't mean that you have to leave youth ministry to do it.
Yes.
You can do it from the youth ministry position. And I find that to be true in my life. And I think... you know, you can still be a youth pastor, young at heart, relevant, fun-loving, winsome, able to connect with all kinds of people, and yet that gives you the ability to speak into the larger leadership of the church in a tremendous way, and that's awesome.
Yeah,
like,
God
that is
has been,
a great place
God
to
has
be.
Been good to me because I am in that sweet spot where I still am able to kind of be in youth ministry, but yet able to explore other areas of my giftedness in the church. It's just, I'm so excited about the next decade, really, honestly.
Be encouraged by that because it doesn't mean the end. It's really just, it's almost like a fulfillment of everything that you've been trained and loved to do. It just has a little bit wider influence, which is awesome.
Beautiful.
And stick with youth ministry, man.
Yeah, I'm in.
Gotta stick with it.
Of course.
It's the best place to be.
It is. It's
absolutely.
Good.
Don't be demoted.
Don't be demoted.
Stick
I
with
love
youth
it.
Ministry. So yeah, we made it.
So hopefully that is a helpful conversation for you as you kind of think about your decades, and we hope they are decades, plural, with an S, in student ministry, that you stick in this thing, because there's some beautiful times coming. If you're in your 20s, man,
grind
there's
it
some,
out, man. Stick
there's
with
some
it.
Great times coming. I mean, we didn't even talk about, because it's honestly the whole purpose of this. I mean, getting your 40s and 50s, and there are so many benefits doing officiating weddings and watching kids raise kids. That's just absolutely amazing. So
yes.
So stick in it. It's totally worth it. And let us know if you're turning 40 or something, and we'll send you a gift. Make you feel better.
We'll send you some prunes or something.
And November 1st, I turned 50. Send gifts too. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Don't send any gifts. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm stick with it, guys. Yeah, girls, absolutely. It is absolutely worth it. This is the way to pursue God's dream for you.
All right. Well, thanks for listening today. We will be back next week with another episode of Youth Ministry Sherpas.
Until then, Sherpas
out.